Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. I'm coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and we do with money. We're reclaiming stewardship, and God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out. That's stewardship.com. This is your show, America. Phone lines are open. 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Call in and we'll talk. You know, there's a lot of money advice out there. And you might be thinking, man, this is just another one of those shows that's going to tell me what kind of retirement vehicles I need to be using and what kind of insurance products. This show is different. I am so proud of this show because this show is going to inject hope into your situation. There's going to be several callers throughout the next 25 minutes and every day right here on your dial. We've got callers calling in, and what we're doing is a little bit of practical advice, but it's all bathed in hope. Our goal is that you hang up whenever that caller hangs up, wherever you're at, if you're in your car or you're there at your office, that you're filled with hope. The Bible's full of hope, and we want to make sure that you know about it. So phone lines are open, and our first caller is Dolores. She's calling in from Columbia, South Carolina. Dolores, how can I help you?
Okay, I have a little situation here.
Okay.
My husband, he had a stroke in February.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And thank you, but he's doing much better for recovery.
Good.
Yeah, it's a blessing. And the helicopter ride was, a 15-minute helicopter ride, was $46,000.
Oh.
And I did go through the Financial Peace University. So the insurance denied it because it was out of network. So we appealed it. And then they did pay most of it, all of it really, instead of, I think we were left with about $17,000. So when I called them to work out something with them, and by the way, all of my credit cards were paid off, everything. We were, you know, working on car, you know, things in line as what they suggested, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
They said these are the two options they gave us. We either pay $500 a month to pay off the $17,000 or a one-time payment of $8,000. So I asked them, could they bring it down a little bit more? So they brought it down to $7,100, one-time fee, or $500 until it's paid off. So I don't know if I did the right thing or not, but I wanted to take the one-time fee, okay, because it was considerably cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So I paid it off using my credit card. I had $9,000 on there. I put the $7,100 on it. Here's my question. My question is, should I use my son's tuition to pay off the credit card because it was paid off, or not?
Okay, and so you have tuition money set aside for his tuition, and you want to apply that towards the credit card?
Yes.
Okay.
He's going to college in the fall.
Have you talked about this with your son?
Yes.
What does he say?
You know what? We all talked about it, and I've asked several people.
Mm-hmm.
And the money is just right now sitting in my account just waiting. I was really waiting just to see what you guys would say. Some people say yes. He said, my dude, you know what you have to do. You know, after the stroke, it scared everyone. And
yeah,
I guess I keep thinking about this happening again, and I'd rather be out of debt than anything.
Yeah.
If you understand what I'm saying. So I wasn't sure.
Is your son also passionate about staying out of debt, and he's on this Financial Peace University plan as well?
Yes, all of them are.
Okay.
All of my sons are, yes.
Now, I'm not sure if you are expecting this kind of advice or not, but I actually would use it. And here's why. I think in the big scheme of things, 10 years from now, whether your son graduated one semester earlier or not is not going to matter. Mm-hmm. I think if he went to a junior college for one semester or two semesters, when you find that, you know, look at that 10 years from now, you're not going to it's not going to make a difference either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the camaraderie and the unity and the how close you become as a family because you all came together, especially when it's tied to your husband's stroke, I think it's going to be a really special time where everyone came together and we took one for the team. And I think you can actually leverage it to really speak into your son's life that he already has a financial legacy, that he's already donated back to the family. And that's going to be something that he can pass on to the next generation, that we're a family that's tight, we're a family that's unified, we're a family that sacrifices for each other. And it increases the passion and the intensity to stay out of debt. I like it. I think getting the credit cards out of there. And I think, you know, blessing him for that sacrifice, I think blessing the mess out of him, giving him a celebrate it somehow, not on credit, but the next time you get some funds put aside to go celebrate him, have a big dinner or have a big party and just say, that was just an incredible move, and I'm proud of you, son. You're awesome, and thank you so much for doing that. That's what I would do.
Okay, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Oh, way to go, Dolores. I'm so proud of you, and way to go. And I'm just so and here's something for all of our listeners to hear. The way that you handled that $46,000 bill is amazing. I mean, to get it down to 17 and then to crank it to 8 and then to crank it to 7,100, you are the woman. And so good job on that. That's exactly the first thing I would have coached people to do is to get on the phone and get that down. And that's exactly what you did. So great job, Dolores, and great call.
Thank you so very much.
Remember, you can email me at chrisonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Lucy just emailed in. She lives in Los Angeles. And the whole question is, should we tithe while we're paying off our debt? And the answer is yes. We need to realize that tithing is not for God. It's not for Jesus. It's for us. He wants us to give because we're made in his image. We're never more like Christ than we are when we're giving. He gave his one and only son so that we would have everlasting life. And so we need to give. Deuteronomy chapter 26 starts it off by saying that we need to tithe off our net increase. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it tells us a little bit more about how. It says, bring the whole tithe into the tithe means 10%. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, in the local church, in the bride of Christ. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough room enough to store it. And again, that's Malachi 3:10. And then in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you give a tenth of your spices, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. Now listen to what Jesus says next. You should have practiced the latter. Here it is. Without neglecting the former. There you are in New Testament. It is confirming what the behavior that is desired in the Old Testament. And so we need to be tithing. Remember, it's for us, not for God. He wants us to live an open-handed life, not a closed-fisted life. Well, I'm Chris Brown, and I thank you for joining me on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Our next caller is Neil. He's calling in from Atlanta. Neil, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm very, very thankful. How can I help you?
I am currently employed in a pathology lab. I'm in the science field and really felt like underappreciated in that job. And I got another opportunity in a different city. It's basically like the difference of 25 minutes, not a big deal, from a pretty significant offer, difference in money. So I accepted that one. And then when the CEO of my company that I'm currently at found out about it, he called me in his office and basically offered me a promotion and a match of the exact same money. And so really I'm trying to get just some advice about how to really make sure I'm making the wisest decision because I'm kind of unhappy with the work culture at my current employer.
Yeah.
Just some things that I'm not really happy about, although I do have a really great opportunity to share the gospel with my coworkers because it's a laboratory environment. So it's pretty much just me and my coworkers, you know, early in the morning, able to talk about, you know, whatever, and they're pretty open about asking questions, whereas the new job would pretty much just be myself in there. So I just wanted some, you know, a little bit of advice about where I should go with that.
What's the dollar amount? Because I want to match it.
$50,000 on a salary is what it was, yeah.
I'll do 51. I'll do 51, Neil.
Okay.
Hey, here's the good news, Neil. Everybody wants you. That's a good place to be. Okay. So just soak it up and enjoy it. This is the good old days. One day you're going to look back and be like, remember that day where multiple employers were like they were scrapping for me and they were begging me to come work? That's awesome. I love it.
I know. I mean, I'm happy with it and everything like that. And basically the new offer would allow me to basically have a better track to go back to professional school.
Yeah. What's your gut tell you?
Huh, man, it's pretty much what my wife tells me. My wife wants me to just take the new one.
And are you looking more for career practical advice, or are you looking more for a heart spiritual advice?
Pretty much the heart spiritual advice.
Okay. And this evangelistic opportunity that you have at the former company, are you fully leveraging that now?
Trying to as much as I can. It's pretty much every day. So, you know, I'm a reader. And so pretty much every week, my wife and I are going through a different book. So right now we're going through a Tim Keller book.
Okay.
On the meaning of marriage. And so my supervisor right now is a pretty close friend of mine. I'm not really sure, you know, where he's at spiritually with the Lord. Like he goes to church with his wife, but they're having a few little issues. And so as I'm reading through this book with my wife and getting all this practical insight, you know, we're talking about it all day because I've been a Dave Ramsey listener for a while. And so he and I got close talking about finances that way. And it's opened the door where, you know, every morning we're like, hey man, you know, this is what I'm learning. This is what my wife and I are doing. You know, how are you and your wife doing?
Okay.
It's pretty much like an everyday opportunity for that.
Do you naturally gravitate towards leadership conversations or technical questions that have to do something with you physically doing something with your hands or your mind?
I mean, it's both. It's both. You know what I mean? Like,
you seem to be a leader. You're a go-getter. You know what you want. You sound like a leader to me. You're a reader.
Yeah.
You seem to be leading your wife well. You're processing decisions well. A big X factor in this is you weren't happy there. And so you don't want to go to work every day and not happy. You're going to be chosen for leadership regardless. So don't feel like that the former employer matching is going to be your only stab at leadership. And it's going to be the only time you're going to get put into that possible pipeline for future leadership and MBA and all that stuff. I think leadership has already chosen you, and it's just the way it's going to be packaged. But you've got a huge, bright future. I personally don't think, and this is not just me being like in some kind of mystical way being prophetic. I promise you, I can hear it in your voice that you're going to win. You're a winner. And so I wouldn't feel like you're in bondage to the prior employer. You're going to win regardless because you've got tremendous faith in God, not an employer. God's going to lift you up. Not some employer. So don't feel, if you choose that one, that's fine. Just don't feel in bondage to it. You've got liberty. And here's the deal. We never really know where God's putting us. We never really audibly hear his voice. We're never more than 85% sure, but man, he can make our decisions and make them right. He definitely has your back, Neil. Thank you so much for the call, and I'm wishing you the best. Well, folks, we are talking about living smart with our money. Now is the perfect time to start living smart with your money. You just need a plan that works. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy-to-follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class or as a home study or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now, let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right, and our next caller is Stephanie. She is calling in from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Stephanie, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm very, very thankful. How can I help you today?
Well, I was calling, my husband and I have been trying, you know, working at getting more budgeting in our family, like just being more revised in what we've been doing. And we've just run into times where we're kind of back and forth you know, I get really excited about it, and then he's not as much, and then he is more, and then I feel like, well, you weren't, and now you are, and kind of going back and forth. And I was wondering if there's any way, you know, just some technique or something to help us get more in sync with each other about it. We're really at the beginning of it, you know, working on the $1,000 and just looking at going into the, after that, into the second step. So we're kind of at the beginning, and it's a little bumpy road, I guess.
Yeah. What does your budget process look like right now? When you guys have these conversations, walk me through what it looks like.
At the beginning of this year, I set up a budget in Excel for us.
Okay.
And it really gave us a great picture of what our month looked like. It got me very excited, and I had a lot of peace from doing that. And it did help, you know, and then I felt glad to show my husband so that he could see it. I think that helped him as well, you know, kind of more itemized, more than just pencil on paper, you know.
Yeah.
And then we came out of a hardship. We feel God has brought us through a hardship since 2009 or 10. And last year, he had his best income year, and we ended the year just wanting to be able to show more for it.
Yeah.
We were doing, you know, catch up and patchwork, I guess. So we were facing this year wanting to do, you know, to end the year with some money saved, or, you know, something that we could look at and feel, you know, that we could show God what we did with our money, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's been a little back and forth.
Okay. Well, here's where I see a little bit of a gap. Hopefully this will help you a little bit. Two things. One, the mechanism you're using for your budgeting. We're going to talk about that. And then we're also going to talk about the actual process, how it's going down. So number one, you are using a Pinto for your budgeting when there's a Rolls Royce available. So you're excited about, you want to hear about the Rolls Royce?
Sure.
Okay, good. So Excel, you just need to tell yourself, that was so last year. That was like, that's so in the past. There is an app called everydollar.com that we worked really hard on for a very long time. And I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. So if you want to drive a Rolls Royce, you want to go to stewardship.com, and it'll point you to Every Dollar. It is a budgeting tool that you can get. It's all web-based. It syncs immediately. It'll sync on your phone. It'll sync on his phone. It'll sync on your computer. All that happens instantaneously, and it's free. So make sure you check that out, stewardship.com. Every Dollar, and then that'll just make it more fun, more user-friendly. It won't be so stiff as Excel is. I did Excel for years and years and years, and when Every Dollar came out, I was like, thank you. So
Okay. These
web developers walk around here all the time in the office, and I'm always thanking them for all their hard work. So enjoy the Rolls Royce. Now, the other thing is, you guys need to be doing this together. So one of you doesn't provide it, and then the other person inspects it. You sit down together, and it's all bathed in your goals. So you sit down and you talk about your goals, and that's why one of you's hot at one point and one of you's not, and the other one is, because you're both losing sight of your long-term goals.
Because sometimes it gets a little hard to, I guess, you know, picture it.
Yeah.
But we need to talk about it more.
And have it written down, put it on the refrigerator, so you both have accountability, not in an accusatory way, but from an inspiration way. Get it on there. I know for me, I'm trying to lose some weight, and I can visually see progress, and that really, really helps me. So you're in the here and now, and you've got real life happening to you, and so you just lose sight of long term. So I would have systematically every couple weeks where you guys sit down at your date night, and you talk about the future, and you get excited about the future, not just intellectually, but emotionally. You picture yourself in that spot 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, and if you guys keep that white hot, you guys will stay on the same page. All right?
All right.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Stephanie.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next caller is Daniel. He's calling in from Cleveland, Ohio. Daniel, how can I help you?
My wife, she comes from a very poor, impoverished family. And I try and tell her, you know, that she can be successful and things like that. But she doesn't believe that she'll ever escape what her parents are going through. She's only 21 right now. I'm 24. She graduated high school, valedictorian. She's in a great college right now, and she's almost done with that, but she's so afraid that all her schoolwork and things like that won't really achieve anything. And I try and tell her and give her quotes and stuff like that to encourage her, but she doesn't believe that. And, you know, she'll be in tears, just so afraid that she won't be able to make something of herself. And I believe that, you know, we can do that, but I don't know how to get her to believe in herself.
Well, I hear the voice of a very supportive husband, and it's special when you hear this, that you are calling on her behalf because you want what's best for her. I didn't hear anything in there that had selfish motives, because she's holding me back, or she's holding our family back, or her limited thinking is frustrating. And I wanted to point that out for our listeners, that that we really need to watch the reason why we're asking questions. We need to really listen into our heartbeat behind our questions. And so I love your spirit, Daniel. I really do. So if quotes and verses and sayings aren't helping, here's what I would suggest. I would suggest what we call displacement. So you've got this poverty mentality, this victim's mentality. We can't get ahead. There's no way. A worrisome mentality. And she's valedictorian, so she's very bright. So you're not going to beat her necessarily with intellect. She's already thinking the way she wants to think. Here's what I would do. I would inspire her through behavior. And I would inspire her through your belief in her. So John Maxwell said one time, I read in a book a long time ago that said, and this is not something to recite to her because it won't work, but I want to recite it to you. And it was, give people a reputation to uphold. So is it possible that right now you're giving her a reputation just by talking about it all the time? She has a reputation of being down. She has a internal reputation that she's given herself of having limited thinking. The bottom line is she's looking through binoculars that are foggy. She's looking through binoculars that maybe even they have the lens cap on. It's just, she has no vision for what her life could be or what y'all's life could be. And really, you just got to change out the binoculars. So that comes back to displacement. Instead of getting rid of her worldview, replace it and inspire her with a worldview that that works. Now, here's how you do that. Whenever God comes through, whenever your hard work immediately translates into an increase in pay, you put something together, you're doing something that's biblically rooted. And God's way of handling finances, or God's way of handling your career, or your personal development, translates into progress. Highlight that like crazy. This is God showing off. Give God the glory. Express a ton of gratitude. There's three different mindsets towards finances that have been around for years. There's the mindset of poverty. There's a mindset of pride that I've done all this. And there's a mindset of gratitude that thank you, God. You are supplying our every need. You are taking our hard work and you're multiplying it. It's the momentum theory that we have around here. Focused intensity over time multiplied by God equals unstoppable momentum. And if you can keep pointing her towards God showing off, you can displace her worldview, remove the fog from her binoculars, and she'll begin to start to change her worldview. You've got to overcome 21 years of the wrong thinking. It's not going to happen overnight. But I do know this.
Right.
God can use all of those discussions to bring you guys closer together. If everything was absolutely perfect, you'd have nothing to harmonize yourselves. Everything was easy, you wouldn't need each other. You can be there for her when it comes to this. Help her see what God is doing through all the hard work and make sure that she knows that you believe in her. Man, I believe in you. And just keep calling out what God's plans for her. Call it out, call it out, call it out. And you're always telling her how amazing she is, how grounded she is, and call out all those great qualities. And she'll begin to develop a new reputation internally and she'll think differently.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Daniel. That wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in the radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service. But in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by telling your friends and your family to, one, listen to the show, and two, check out stewardship.com. Again, that's stewardship.com. So thanks for helping spread the word. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Again, that's Chris Brown On Air. Today, we have been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So until next time, Let's continue to manage his blessings his way and for his glory. God bless you.